Morning is from Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
The Lord says, "Rise up, rise up. His kingdom resurrection power is here. So rise up and live in his power." I think we should give a shout out to the women, because in this story, it's the women who rise up early in the morning to go and look at the tomb. And of course, winding back to Friday, it was the women who toughed it out, watching Jesus die on the cross. They stayed there till literally the bitter end. They didn't desert, they didn't run off. And they saw that his body was taken. One of the Jewish leaders, in fact, provided, and they saw the body was hurriedly wrapped in a cloth and put in a tomb, and Joseph, or maybe under command of the Romans or whatever, to make sure there's no strange business, had a stone rolled in front of a tomb, and the women were watching that. They were there to the end. But because by Friday evening, it was already Sabbath. The Jewish rest, remember that the Jewish rest period is a 24-hour period. It actually runs evening to evening. So by Friday evening, they were already into that Sabbath rest period. They could not spend the time and the physical work to properly prepare the body to be laid in the tomb forever. So they went home knowing that the task was undone. And so first thing on the Sunday morning, what we now call Easter morning, they rise up early. They go prepared with the spices to prepare the body. But they have a dilemma. The one preparation they haven't made is who will move the stone away so that they get access to the tomb. And so they're asking each other, well, surely there'll be someone, maybe we can find someone to help us out so that we can get into the tomb. They're expecting to find this rock blocking the entrance, but hoping that somehow there will be some people on hand to help out. What they didn't expect to find is that the rock had already been moved, that the tomb was there to walk into. And so they go and peer in. I mean, surely someone else is already in there, right? So maybe someone else has had the same idea and has beaten them to it to prepare the body. So they peer in, expecting to see the body laid out and someone at work. But what they see is there is nobody laying there. Now, they had seen the body put there on the Friday, late, but they'd seen it there. But it's not there. But there is someone there. Is it a someone or is it, I'm not sure, is it someone or is it an angel? They're dressed in this bright white robe, and this person, this angel, starts speaking to them. Do not be afraid. Well, that's handy because, like you or I, these women by now must have been spooked. Do not be afraid. And then this angel-like figure tries to get the women to concentrate on the next words that he will give, the words that will form the turning point of history for the whole world. The angel says to the women, Jesus the Nazarene was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Now, those words sound simple enough, but that's a lot for the women to process. That's a lot for them to hear, to get their head round. Even though they can see that there is no body, their computation is running wild now. And it's in this moment of chaos, certainly of high running emotion and trying to figure out what on earth is going on. What is this strange person telling them? It is in this moment that they receive this incredible news that Jesus is alive. There is no body to anoint because he has risen. Well, the messenger angel has more for them. He says to them, look, now go and tell the others. Go back and tell them, tell the men folk, tell them that Jesus is going ahead of you. You will see him just as he told you. The women are empowered to go and tell the good news. And that's worth another shout out. That's worth another shout out. The women are empowered to go and tell the news that changes the whole of world history. Get your heads around that. It's the women who are the first to tell that news. The guys haven't even got out of bed yet. The women are told to tell the news. The messenger sends them. In Christian language from the Bible, we know this word apostle, right? Apostle, special leader, special person. In its most basic sense, the Greek, it means sent with a message. That's exactly what the women are at this moment. They are apostolic, sent with a message to go and tell this news. Now, naturally at first, they struggle with this. They can't get their head around this. And it's been a heck of a spooky episode thus far. And so Mark records that they go off kind of like terrified and at first a bit silent. But here's the thing. The Mark that we have our printed books. Back in the day when Mark first wrote it out, there were no printing presses. There was no photocopying machines. And so Mark wrote it out and then other people wrote it out and copied it out and copied it out. And as they did that, some variations crept in some parts and some verses. And so the most fragments that we've got today say that the women were bewildered and frightened and silent, but there are other fragments that say that the women do go back and tell. And of course the other accounts with Luke and Matthew and so on also record that the women do indeed go back and tell. So they're naturally frightened and scared and bewildered, but they don't stay that way. They fulfill their call and go and tell. But let's stick with this business of telling and go back to the words of the messenger. Very, very simple. Jesus was crucified. He has risen. You will see him just as he told you. So let's work that through. Jesus was crucified. That's the deal. Jesus, the real person who actually lived, who actually did stuff, who actually spoke and told them stuff, was really killed on the cross. An actual death. It's not fake. It's not made up. It's not a story. It's not fake news. It's a reality of this person. He was crucified. He was living. You saw him do stuff. You saw him take him from you. And you saw him die. His life was taken. But although his death was 100% real, the next words are, he has risen. His death, 100% real, is not final. He is not here because he is alive. And that makes Jesus unique. No other person has ever done that. I mean, William, he used to work for an undertaker, right? You never saw anything like that. Right? No other person has done that. Right? Otherwise, you'd be well spooked, right? He's unique in history. He was crucified, but he is risen. No one else has done that. And here's the thing, no other religion, no other world belief or faith. They have many teachings, some teachings interesting, some teachings might be useful. But none of them has anything close to this deal of God coming down and living as a human being and doing stuff and then being taken and killed and dying on a cross, being laid on the tomb, but within 3 days he is not here because he is risen and then seen alive. It's the only faith that has that. The only one that is unique of God coming to us, living, dying, and rising. And that's why we have to make up our mind. Because in the Christian faith, it shows that death is not the end. And so we have to decide. It's not a set of teachings that is interesting to abide by or not, depending on how you feel. We have to decide, is this proclamation, this life-changing, this history-changing proclamation, he was crucified, but he is risen. Is that real, and does it apply to me, and what am I going to do about it? Because it leaves us no other option but to wrestle with that and decide for ourselves. Remember, the angel figure said to the women, you will see him. And they did. They got back, joined the guys and that. And then Jesus physically appeared to them with a real physical body. They could touch. They could see where the nail marks were and see where he'd been wounded. But he was even able to eat stuff. It wasn't just a ghost or a vision, but it was a real person meeting with him. Now, that didn't last. He then did disappear from view, and we understand that he kind of returns into the Godhead. We can't quite get our head around it. But that doesn't mean to say that he totally vanished with no more people ever seeing him in any kind of way. Because since that time, after those first few weeks of people physically seeing, through history, even to the present day, Some do see him in dreams or visions, and they get to see Jesus in some form, in some kind of dream or vision. Now, that's a few people, not everyone, but a few people. But here's the thing, that although that's just a few people all through history, there are many, many, many people who see him, what I'd call, say, in a sort of second order kind of way. So they see the effects of him being alive. They see the changes it makes in people's lives. They see how the difference that he brings, and they feel something in their senses, whether it's in here or some other sense in your body or some other sense perception. They sense, yes, he is alive. I can't physically see him as a person in front of me, but I can see that he is alive. That's my experience when I was 18 years old and someone was giving a message like this. And so I had this profound sense that I needed a spring clean in my life and that only Jesus could give it. And as I look back on that time, 18 years old, I think, I can see that he was alive. Some of us will know of a lady called Maz, who used to worship with us, who would sit in the back. And we haven't seen her for many months because she's been in a care home. But I remember back in 2021, it was Christmas 2021, and she said to me, Carl, look, you've got to understand that my liver is shot. I've had this this disease for years. I've been living on borrowed time, and basically, you know, my quality of life is ebbing away. I could potentially go on the transplant list, but even with that, it's going to be hideous and messy. It's not going to work out. I think I'm ready to die. And I said, that's a brave, wise decision. But I said, look, you've been joining with us and exploring faith and that. Are you ready to receive Jesus? And she said, yes, I am. I said, that's fantastic. We can go and pray. So we went into the little room that we have off the hall. We call it the quiet room. And we said, let's pray and receive Jesus. Because with Jesus, you know that this liver failure thing is not the end. And she said, that's right. And we prayed together. And the next year, was it January 2022, she stood up here and told us about it. Some of you will remember that. And she lived at peace from that time on. She had had a hard, hard life. Many things had happened to her. Many things had been done to her. Many things had gone wrong in her life. But now she was at peace because she, for herself, could see Jesus. And she knew that she could embrace death as a stage, something to go through. And so she went into a care home late last year with palliative care and failing, and Saturday morning she passed away. At peace. Because she had seen Jesus for herself. That is something that each of us can know. That each of us can go forward with. All of us, everyone, can know that he is alive and risen. So we have to decide what we're going to do with our lives. We have to make our mind up. We have to decide. Maybe we need to move from that maybe point and say, actually, yes, Jesus, come into my life. I want to know, like Maz did. I want to know, like other people seem to know, and go forward with that. Maybe our little yes needs to grow to be that big yes and say, I'm all in, Jesus. I'm all in with you. And that means we then have to decide what we're going to do with our lives and how we're going to spend our time and our priority. And so we have a habit here as a people. We have four of them actually, but I'm just going to talk about habit number four, which we call margin for Jesus. And that's saying, look, I don't have to max out. I don't have to rush with everything, but I can deliberately make space for Jesus to fill. Remember, Jesus, the messenger said to the women, go, you will see Jesus. He's gone ahead of you. You will see him just like he told you. Catch up with what he is doing. Make space in our lives so that we can then catch up with what he is doing. So we call it margin for Jesus. So our question for this month, which will be on the screen, please, Ollie. What does margin for Jesus look like for you? I mean, are you just going to like just continue with loads and loads of activity, continue with loads and loads of stuff? Are you going to just try and fix everything yourself? Or do you realize that with him you can pause and say, okay, Jesus, you lead. I will follow and catch up with what you are doing. So what does margin for Jesus look like for you? See, this term, we've told the stories of Jesus using Mark's account. We've told stories of healings. We've told stories of feeding thousands of people. We've told stories of casting out demons. We've told stories of storms being calmed and all kinds of stuff. Good stories, fun stories. But now you have to decide, are they just stories? Nice to tell? Or is it all about him showing the kingdom of God, which now he's alive, he continues to do? If I will make space to catch up with what he is doing. To make the space in my life to say, yes, he is the risen Lord. I'm all in for him. I want to see him and his kingdom work continue to play out. Those stories are not one-offs, but will repeat over and over as different people are released and set free and healed and restored and put back together and enabled to be free and live again. Because I'm making the space to catch up with what he is doing and be part of it. Amen. Let's just, as we're seated,